What's going on, everybody? Another great week. Let's get to the intro.
Sit down and chop it up. Let's talk about it.
Well, let's ask the right question.
Who's convinced?
We're starting to see the mind right stuff now.
It's What Do You Know With Joe? What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of What Do You Know With Joe. As always, we've got Baxter, we've got Winnie, we've got Lindsay, and we've got the little nugget doing great. This week, we have some great guests joining. From Purple Cherry Architects, we have interior designers Alex Epstein and Annie Kersey, as well as senior architect Carmine Cafiro. To me, architecture and interior design is something that takes a keen eye and is truly a lost art. While some of us are fortunate enough to have homes and live in areas with such great architecture, sometimes you miss some of the subtle beauties and true genius within those designs, and I think it's something I find very interesting. I think everyone else will as well. We talk about all things as far as, how they come up with their ideas, where they find inspiration, how they're always looking and seeing inspiration and seeing certain things that catch their eye, as well as the famous fifth grader question for those across the pond. It's the, sixth or seventh year student question. And it's just an overall really good conversation. We really learn a lot. We really get to dive into everything. So check it out. Very exciting. As always, check out Sneakerhead Golf Company. The promo is still going. Joe15, get 15% off your total order. If you have a loved one that's interested in golf or you're looking for some new apparel, they're really interested in sneakers maybe, or you want to find that cool head cover for a loved one for Christmas with the holidays knocking right around the corner, check it out. Go get one. Use my promo code. They're going to love it. It's a great, great gift idea. But let's jump into the PCA episode. I'm very excited for everyone to listen. Check it out. What's going on, everyone? Thank you so much for joining the What Do You Know With Joe show. I have three guests with me, Carmine Cafiro, Annie Kersey, and Alex Epstein with Purple Cherry Architects. Guys, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Of course, of course. So Alex and Annie, you both are interior designers, and Carmen, you've been on before, and you are an architect. Do I have that correct, everyone?
Yes. We are the lead interior designers at Purple Cherry.
I was going to say, I need the official title. I don't want to just dumb it down potentially to just interior designers. So describe your role a little bit, Alex and Annie, of, what you do at PCA, what kind of goes into the line of work of being lead interior designers, and just informing people about that a little bit more.
Okay, Annie, do you want to jump in?
Sure. So our role is essentially to manage our clients' projects and take them all the way from their concept inspiration and design all the way through to the installation and completion of their project so that they are move-in ready. And that looks a little bit different for every one of our clients, whether we're working on a renovation project or a new construction project. We might be doing, a small portion of the house or the entire house. And so our goal is to create a inviting and comfortable environment for our clients that feels very curated and is a reflection of their personality. So we manage that process and manage the team underneath us. We have some amazing junior interior designers and interior admin staff that help support us so that we can do our job efficiently and make sure all of our orders are tracked and placed, and we get all the way through to that white glove delivery.
Awesome. And Alex, how do you work hand in hand with Annie, or do you guys collaborate a lot together, or do you guys both handle, you'll have a project and, or Annie, you'll have a project and Alex, you'll have a project?
So we each manage projects individually, but because we are such a great team, we really do constantly lean on each other for support and also just to run ideas off of each other, just to be like, is this really crazy or is this gonna look good? And or even it's if we're looking for an item and we just can't find it, it's we're always treating each other and saying, okay, what is this great resource? Because somebody always has another thought. So it's always, we work really kind of simultaneously together.
Gotcha. And so how does, as a whole, I guess, from what you guys do at PCA, how is that potentially different than other interior design firms?
Yeah, we work very differently than other interior design firms. And I think that that's probably just a reflection of how we started and how we grew out of an architecture firm and expanded into an architecture and interiors firm. Because we were at the point where our projects were the caliber that they are when we really started the interiors division of the firm, we really took a different approach to the model of interior design. We basically bill our clients on an hourly basis for the work that we do. And by doing that, we provide our wholesale pricing to the clients. So that's really what makes us kind of stand out among a lot of other firms, is just our model. And that works really well for the client that is doing a major renovation or new construction project. So it kind of fits our clientele really well.
Yeah, and Kathy believes in like full transparency with all of our clients. And that's really where that stemmed from, in not doing markups on any of our products and giving our discount to all of our clients.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
They're burying the lead a little bit, Joe, because the type of discounts that they're talking about are so great that they actually encapsulate the fee that they have, the fee that Annie and Chrissy have on the job to manage the job. So you'll hear Kathy talk about the numbers pretty roundabout terms, but like if there is $1.5 million of furniture retail job, Annie and Chrissy are providing that same furniture at somewhere like anywhere from half to 60% of that cost. So furniture package turns into something like $750,000, $850,000, which is still, it's still a big six figure number, but it's not 1.5. And in that savings is all of the time that Annie and Alex took to do the job. So, in an opportunity cost sort of way, that, you know, most clients when they're working at that scale actually come out ahead.
That's what I was going to say. I think when you guys are working with the clients, you guys do work with a little bit higher clientele. I mean, sure, it's like you said, it is a bit higher, but I mean, at the end of the day, that's still a significant, you are saving them six figures worth of money at the same time too. So, you know,
we're easily saving them like 50, if not more, percent, like off of retail costs, if you're looking at it as a whole. Yeah.
And it protects both the client and the process that they choose to go through this journey on, and us, because you might have a client that wants to be very involved in the process of the selections and takes more time to come around to their decisions. And you might have a client that's very hands off and trusting and just wants you to really present them with a full design. And those two camps take very different work efforts and lengths of time to get to completion. So our model really, you know, allows us to fit whatever we need to for our client without trying to, you know, put a number on how much time it's going to take us to do this without really knowing the client's, you know, involvement up front.
And I think that, again, I can see how that would be, you know, different in the aspect of, and I'm starting to connect how, you know, things can work collectively as a whole, you know, with working as PCA being also, you know, a top interior design and having that differentiating factor than other interior design firms. Carmen, I know you had a piercing question next, but I do want to ask both of you, you know, when you walk into a room, you know, what are some of the things you dissect and break down, and maybe some of the things you first start noticing when you first walk into, you know, either a new construction or just a remodel? What are some of the things you start notating to yourself?
Oh, gosh. It's hard to pinpoint it. I was going to say, like, I feel like I walk, especially like if we're doing a remodel or if we're doing projects that are primarily really interiors, like I start really kind of dissecting like how somebody might be like living in the space already. You kind of like understand like who they are and how they function. And then as far as new construction goes, I think we're always looking at different details that are in the room, really kind of trying to understand the real scale of the space. So because even though we work so much in Revit and we see everything 3D, there's mm-hmm. nothing like actually being on site and seeing it for yourself.
Yeah. I think whenever I'm walking into a space, and especially because so many of our projects are really about capturing those views of the property, that's a lot of times what we're looking for too, is going to be, you know, what's that major focal point of the room? There might be multiple focal points of the room. We might have a mm-hmm. fireplace, a television, but we also might have a view to the exterior. And so how are we going to combine the function of the room with the view and the, you know, I guess the view that we're trying to achieve as well, and making sure that we're setting up the room aesthetically to capture both of those. And then also thinking about flow and its connection to its adjoining rooms, or, you know, how you circulate through that space.
It's all about the flow, for sure. We want to make sure things flow nicely. It's all about the flow.
Absolutely.
So Annie and Alex, where do you guys grab your inspiration from? Are you constantly kind of checking in on periodicals? Do you have old contacts that from other places you've been before that you've made previously that are getting you like, here's what's coming up? What does that look like?
Yeah, I always think this is such a hard question because inspiration is literally all around you all the time.
Literally.
But it's also what's so amazing about it. So I would say that, you know, Alex and I would both tell you that we sit in bed at night and we scroll Pinterest and Instagram and we save things and we follow new designers and we follow new, you know, places and venues and things that we see and capture our attention, or we save them in folders as design ideas for the future. You know, we're always sharing with each other new vendors that we come across. But I think we also, you know, we do attend High Point Market, and I would say High Point Market's a very like inspiring place to go to. You're always seeing, you know, the newest trends, what's edging on the latest design. So I think that's a huge inspiration point as well. And I think travel too, you know, anytime you go somewhere new or you're going into a hotel or a new restaurant or things like that, there's always some very creative design ideas, I think, implemented in some of those places. So.
Do you ever find like when you're just walking into like you just said, do you ever find when you're just walking into a restaurant or anywhere like that, you're just like, oh, I like that idea? Or do you ever find the time to just kind of just, is your brain always working like that, I guess is what I'm asking? You're always like looking and seeing like, oh, that would be good. Or I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I was going to say mine always is. I feel like I'll walk into different like hotels, different restaurants, even different retail stores, and see like the lighting that they're using or how a wallpaper might be installed. Just there's always something that is interesting and that really like you almost are like, okay, like that could be really cool in whatever project. So there's always inspiration.
Definitely. Yep. I agree completely. I mean, everywhere you go, you're seeing something for both the positive and the negative. I mean, we see, you know, the incredible ideas and the things that we would, you know, say, oh gosh, let's make sure we never do that.
That's also, I would say that's probably just as good to the, hey, I like this a lot, or, oh, I would never put that anywhere in anything I do. I think that's just as important.
Yeah, Annie and I have definitely have gone to dinner and we're like, oh, maybe not that.
Yeah, we can't go anywhere without breaking down the restaurant's bathroom tile choices and having a conversation about it over cocktails. So it influences our conversations.
and you hear just the energy coming out of Annie and Alex. I'll say it's like the coolest part about working at girls and everybody else is like, we all can't turn it off. Like, and Stacey hates it, right? Because I'm the same way. Like, I'll be walking around. We were on the mall in Charlottesville. We were taking the kids to go get pizza, and I'm walking by an old bill. I'm like, huh, I like the way that brickwork is happening. She's like, we gotta go. We got.
Right. Significant others are like, all right, we get it.
When we were at the Holiday Inn at the wedding this weekend, I'm sitting there in the elevator lobby. I'm like, huh, I really like that little crown molding right there. I haven't seen it. Like, and they're like, I'm in the lobby of the hotel in Plainview, Long Island.
Right.
And
yeah,
like, what am I doing here? Mom and dad are like,
Right. You're like, how did I? Most people are like, I didn't even notice they had nice crown molding. And that's, you know, again, I think, like you said, that's one of the things that also probably makes ECA a little bit different. And similar to what you guys were saying, you guys always notice, you guys are always seeing, you know, designs you like, and, you know, or what you would and wouldn't do. Do you ever find sometimes, you know, you want to put in your personal bias or taste, when working with a customer or working with a client, or do you, you know, is it, or do you have to hold back sometimes, or really does it kind of depend on, I think, Alex, you might've mentioned this, does it really all kind of depend on what the customer wants? You know, do you guys get to get creative, or do you have to maybe, you know, play by their rules, so to speak?
It really depends on the project. Like I've been very fortunate. I'd say Annie as well. Like we have a handful of clients that really kind of like let us take the project and run. And those mm-hmm. are like our biggest opportunities where we can really get creative and really put like our spin on the project. A lot of times the clients, they are looking for a specific style that we really do well, which is a lot of like blue and white and coastal traditional. Mm-hmm. But we are both like always kind of, I would say, pushing like the limit a little bit to do something like a slightly different in each project, so no two are the same.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I think that while we both have our own personal styles, it's rare that a client fits either of our personal aesthetics. That's sure. not what we typically design to. I'd say we probably both have had a client that falls in our personal kind of style. I would just tell you it makes it easy for us to mm-hmm. pull selections for those projects, but it doesn't make any of the other ones less exciting or less fun to work on, because honestly, it's just the change between every single client being such a variety that makes it very mm-hmm. exciting. Each project's so unique. And if anything, if I ever feel like I'm, you know, questioning a choice that I'm making, or if I'm looking at something and saying, is this a little too much? Like, am I too attached to this because I really like this? That's when I turn to Alex and I'll just, you know, I get that second opinion, that pullback. Hey, look at this. What would right. you go with off your gut instinct based on everything that you're seeing? So that's when we can use each other for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And I actually, because Carm, I want to get your input on this next. So I'm going to do a switcheroo on some of our questions here. Or I guess I'll ask this first and then ask my next question. So how does the overlap or collaboration work with architects such as Carmine? Like where do you guys collaborate a lot, or do you guys maybe like, where is the collaboration there, you know, within, you know, architects and lead interior designers such as yourself?
Yeah, it's constant. I would say that we try to get involved with the architect as early as we can. And so by having that in-house, it just makes the process so much easier, because they choose to involve us, you know, immediately. And mm-hmm. we might be able to influence some decisions in the plan in regards to furniture layouts, you know, and placement of furniture. We might right. influence some decisions on window treatments and kind of how we can make some of those details really integrate nicely with our trim details. You know, throughout the house, so that we're not having these moments where we're adding things and they feel like an afterthought. And that's really the benefit right. of having the two worlds collided together, is that we're getting ahead of things and nothing has to be that afterthought. So it's really that seamless integration. But on top of mm-hmm. that, you know, it's no different. Like as we're going through the lighting and the plumbing fixture selections and so forth, we're both bouncing ideas, you know, off from the architecture side and the interior side, and trying to mm-hmm. find, you know, unique opportunities in the millwork and the interior paneling. So those elements are really, they get passed back and forth between architecture and interior design multiple times, I think, before we really reach a final, you know, beautiful conclusion on what we move forward with.
And we definitely, we work a lot like together. So I said, as Annie was mentioning, a lot of those like interior architecture features, which is really nice. And also before really even projects go to bid, we try to get involved in meeting with the client to understand their taste. And that ultimately also helps our clients with pricing. So that way then they have like a better understanding of really like what they're going into as well.
Mm-hmm. And Carm, yeah, I'm very curious to hear how, like, you, like, with being an architect, where do you start thinking about those things with interior designers, or like when you're drawing up plans, you know, how can the interior design team work on that?
Yeah, I mean, our end of the process is geared towards getting interiors involved as soon as we possibly can. So from an architectural point of view, we will be hand sketching plans and hand sketching elevations for the front end of all of our work. Mm-hmm. And once all of the high level design concepts are confirmed with the client, then we'll take it into our 3D software, into Revit. And that's where we start to make the house come alive. It stops becoming lines on paper. It starts becoming walls and windows and doors and layouts and all that sort of stuff. And it, right from the very beginning, we work from a very design-oriented point of view and from a very technically oriented point of view with Alex and Annie. I'm working with Alex and Annie directly on multiple projects at multiple stages, but from the jump, like we'll throw furniture layouts together inside of the model, and we will send those over to the interiors team. Like, is my head screwed on straight here? Do I have to
right?
Facing am I going to be able to flow? Is the room too tight? And we are talking about pushing and pulling rooms 6, 4, 7, 12 inches at a time to be able to make that sort of stuff work. And it's not just things to put in after the fact. It's all of this is integrated and curated to the point that when it is done, it's exactly what you thought it's going to be. And we do that for furniture, mm-hmm. we do that for lighting design, we do it for mm-hmm. do it for interior space making. Like Annie and I are working on what is going to amount to a incredibly cool spiral stair that connects two apartments in a high rise in Charlottesville. And we spend an hour together talking with the stair fabricator about what Annie had heard from the client, what I'm thinking from a technical point of view and an assembly point of view, and then talking with the fabricator directly about, like, okay, well, here's how all this comes together when I actually put this thing together. And while I might have been the one who called the meeting and was trying to drive the conversation, Annie will tell you every 15, probably more than 15 minutes at a time, every 5 minutes at a time, I'm like, Annie, is this what they were thinking? Is this crazy? What do you think about this? And we do that as often as we can.
The collaboration is definitely there. And I think the more and more I ask these questions, the more I'm just hearing how integral you each other are to the final product. And that, you know, I think that's also probably another thing a lot of companies and, you know, firms can't do is say, hey, by the time we've sent you our project to bid, it's gotten all of everyone's inputs on it, from our architects or ID team. It's everyone was involved in this process. And I think that's what probably has led to more successes and more wins for PCA as a whole. As far as, you know, I think this probably varies from customer to customer or client to client. You know, from you guys putting, you know, your stamp of approval on it, how long of a time frame do you think usually projects, you know, take to be done correctly? I know from what it sounds like, the collaboration piece, you know, can take some time too, because you want to make sure it comes out right. But, you know, from once maybe you've gotten past that, how long do you guys usually put a time frame on, or what do you try to, you know, get in the customer's time frame or try to get their heads around?
Oh gosh, let's just say we have projects that range, I would say, that I've been working on even since starting for 2 years now, to some that I know aren't going to be finished for another 4 years from now, just because of the scale of them. So it just really, that's kind of a tough one.
It can take, it can be varying is what you're saying, basically. Yeah. It just yeah. depends on, you know, what the customer really wants and what they're looking for.
Absolutely. Yeah. It depends on their involvement too, and how much, you know, input they want over the process and involvement in those selections. Like we said before, if, you know, they really hand everything over, you know, we might get to a point where we're ordering pretty quickly, but at the same time, the scope might expand. We might add artwork and accessories later down the road, or bedding. Mm-hmm.
We're ordering sheets, bedding, pillows, even like somewhere for them sometimes. Like, it really just depends. So I've had clients that have literally sent me plates saying, like, is this okay for the house? Would this work? So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Wow. And Carm, I want to make sure I think I mentioned this overall. I want to get a well balanced of, you know, input here too. As far as, like, you know, everyone having, I think we've talked about this as well. You know, you guys have a little bit higher clientele. You know, the prices at the House Purple Cherry are building. You know, while they are a little bit higher end. They, you know, they come out beautifully. Do you find that a lot of clients have used, you know, an interior designer before, or, you know, do you find that maybe this is the first time they may be using, you know, a lot of them have used an interior designer when they're putting in these types of homes? Does that also vary on the buyer? And then Carmen, similar like to you, and I know you had a question next to that. Do you find that, you know, a lot of the clients have worked with, you know, architects in the past, or, you know, a lot of the times it's, hey, this is our first try. We're kind of, you know, going with what you guys are recommending.
I think a lot of the clients that I've worked with have worked with other interior designers in the past. At some point have maybe designed another home. That's certainly not all of them. We've had plenty where we've been there first and this is their first, you know, custom home design or custom interiors design. But I do think that when you're at the caliber of homes that we're working on, there are a lot of clients that, you know, this might be, you know, second or third or fourth home that they're designing, and we're along for that journey. So I think they learn a lot about us since we do work very differently from other designers. But but yeah, I really don't think it makes a huge difference to us in our process if they have or haven't.
And do you, for that, because Carmen, and I'm sorry if I'm interrupting your question, do you, you know, what is, I guess from a quick rundown perspective, what are, you know, some of the things you lay out for what a new customer, a new client, you know, what are some of the things you tell them, you know, right off the bat that, you know, here's what we can provide for you. Here's what we can do, you know, with our expertise.
Yeah, we give them a scope breakdown and we sort of provide them with options, if you will, of how involved in the process we can be. And sort of if they want to do everything from what we say is the interior architecture aspect, the things that are affixed like lighting, plumbing, millwork. And then if they want to carry into interior furnishings and accessories and how far through that we go, you know, are we accessorizing and infilling every single bookcase throughout the house? Are we buying all of their bedding, their dinnerware, their stemware, or are we just stopping at the big upholstery pieces and area rugs and items like that? So we sort of provide them with a scope list so that they can wrap their head around everything that we could help them with throughout the process and get a better idea of what they want help with. And from there, we're able to give them a proposal for sort of, you know, our expected fees and what that process looks like for them. Yeah.
And I would say we really kind of pride ourselves also on our flexibility, because I think there's also a lot of design firms out there that are like, it's either all or nothing. And we are always trying to work with what's best for the client and what's best in their interest.
Yeah. And I think that's perfect, because I can dovetail off of that for a small, just a quick hit on how architecture kind of works around that thinking too here too, Joe. So, you know, Mark said it really well when we, on the last episode, he said, we're working with dream homes here. And we are really fortunate to work with some of the folks that we have where this is sometimes their fourth home. But sometimes these are folks that have retired and done well, and they sold a company, and this is the only time that they're going to do this. And they have a fixed budget, and they are sometimes aware, sometimes not aware of what the current climate is going to get them in terms of, you know, what they want versus what they can buy, right? What we make sure that we do all the time is make sure that we have a really clear understanding of what's important to the client and how we can best serve to create that vision, right? To execute on that vision, because we can, and you hear Annie and Alex talk about it, they have a personal acumen, but their talent allows them to work across multiple different types of styles, and architecture is no different, right? So we can design in a range of forms and styles, right? But it's really about what it is that you as the client are looking for, right? So that's that, more than anything else, outside of trying to make sure that we are identifying the best place for an orientation of the house, so we're leveraging the views, because most times that's the reason why people buy property. You know, that we are leveraging those sorts of things. We are trying to do so in a way that executes a vision that they, at various points in time, are able to kind of communicate.
Right. And I think that all ties into what Alex, I think you said, it,
you just hear a lot of flexibility in how PCA works with clients. And, you know, whether you are, you know, building your nice little fourth home, or, you know, this is the dream home that you want to get into, it's all the same in that you put the same amount of flexibility, or you work with them just as hard as you would with any client across the board. And I'm realizing a lot of the questions I have here kind of are redundant in themselves, so I'm going to skip over some of these here, but I would love to hear, you know, what is the balance between, you know, customer input and then maybe wanting to show them, you know, maybe what you might be best, or what's kind of in right now. You know, I'm sure that, and this kind of leads into my next question of, you know, some crazy stories, or crazy requests, but, you know, how do you find the balance of, okay, this is what the customer or a client is asking me, but I know that may not look the way they think it's going to come out. How do you find that balance?
I was going to say, I feel like I push clients far more into like trying to, not making them uncomfortable, like not, that's not the goal, but I try to at least, like, I love spaces that feel like a little like overtly designed, and I always want it to be like show stopping, and that's just, it's in my soul that I want that, and I want to pass that on to all of my clients. So I usually try to like give them like what I would consider like the safer option that I know they'll love, but then like another option that might like push the boundaries, and there might be like, oh, I don't really know about it. I'm like, no, just trust me. Like, this is going to be amazing. So it's like, I have a hard time balancing.
Yeah, I think it's a combination. You want the client's input because the house is personal to them. It's a reflection of their style, their taste, and somewhere that they are, you know, need to be comfortable at the end of the day. But at the same time, you know, they're hiring you as the professional for a reason, and we're certainly not there to just give them what they would choose on their own. You know, our goal is to really design something spectacular, unique, something that, you know, people walk in and it really stops them in their tracks and is kind of that wow moment for them. And that's balanced with something that's, you know, comfortable and maintainable for the client, but, you know, it requires pushing them outside of their comfort zone and what they might have chosen for themselves in order to get there. So it's walking that line. And, you know, at times you may, you know, give up on something that they feel very strongly about, or they've had before, or a piece that has sentimental importance to them. But in other ways, you know, we definitely will be a hard driver when we feel like something does not work. You know, we're going to let the client know that, because we don't want them to make a mistake or to do something that's ultimately going to affect the overall quality of the design.
I'm sure that line sometimes is narrower more than, you know, as wide as you want it to be. Sometimes I'm sure it's a pretty tight line to walk on. And I'm curious to hear all three responses to this next question. And just based off of this, we'll start with Annie. What are some of the craziest requests or ideas, you know, that you've gotten from a customer? Whether that be just like, okay, that's different, or maybe just like, I don't know how we're going to do that, but they're just really pressing us on it.
It's funny, in the world of residential work, I can't say I've had too many outlandish requests. You know, we've had people put in some unique sort of game rooms and elements like that to design. So I would say that's the more, you know, I've worked on a sunken indoor basketball court in a basement that actually had glass perimeter windows that were up on what was the basement level, but then the basketball court was sunken even lower. So that was a very unique sort of design element to work through. And we ended up doing this really awesome, like, kind of bar top setup, like a countertop bar, so you could look over into the basketball court from that level. We've done golf simulator rooms. I know we've got like a bowling alley working now. So all of that getting kind of incorporated into a residence is a little bit unique. And it comes definitely with some fun finishes as well.
We even have like a shooting range, I think, in one of our projects currently. So,
what did she say? That's crazy. A shooting? Wait, are we talking archery or like full on guns? Like,
I mean, both maybe, just like we're talking a full on.
I'm pretty sure it's a gun range. Yeah. Like,
I'm pretty sure it's, awesome. It's a gun range. Yeah.
Like, from like a noise perspective.
Yeah. It's off in its own building, but yeah.
Yeah.
We'll let the architects handle the structural components.
Exactly.
Holy moly.
And the codes that come with that.
Yeah. That being said, though, I do have a gun room inside of a house that is like a cabineted, cased, more decorative room for like a collector aspect. Definitely had some people who have wanted to sort of showcase collectibles. So this one related to that, which always brings in an interesting element of, you know, protecting what's valuable from a safety standpoint, you know, to other people coming in and out of your home. So you sort of have to make this aesthetically pleasing, but also safe and lockable solution.
Yeah. Check out these guns for sure. Yeah. Oh man. Carm, over to you. Or I was gonna say, Alex, do you have any crazy have you had any crazy requests? I know, I mean, the gun range, that's pretty crazy, but any like specific
crazy ones? Yeah. I was gonna say, I have a couple clients that I guess it's more of like their art. I've been trying to find homes for it that they've bought on their trips that have been challenging nonetheless. But I've had some where they just want, I would say, like backlit slabs, like all over the house, and trying to integrate those, but doing it also tastefully. So, but I was going to say that would be kind of like the biggest one. I did have one client who wanted a waterfall, like over three stories. And I was like, yeah, no, we are not a hotel company. We can't do it. So.
That is great. Oh, that is definitely out there. You know, three-story waterfall. That's going to be the magazine if it ever comes out. That's nuts.
I was like that we just can't handle. That's a lot.
It's like natural mother, like they're making natural three-story waterfalls. Like that's crazy.
Yeah.
Carm, what about you? You got any crazy requests? I might have asked you this with Mark, but I'm sure you've got some crazy ones.
Yeah, as I was thinking through them, they're oddly kind of starting to pile up. But the best one that I have right now is that we were working through a client and they wanted an infinity edge pool, but they wanted it on the first floor of the house. We do that a lot, right? You can walk out your door, go to the pool, and that's totally fine. Except the first floor on this house is 30 feet out of the air, the side of a mountain. So. We got the edge pool and we have to hold it 30 feet up in the air. Like we spent the better part of 3 weeks just working on all of the foundations to stand that thing up. A lot of them get kind of big, like the crazy ones are kind of like the big ass. Like we had a client who said, I have 50 cars and I would like to display them in their own barn. He said, that's awesome. Let's figure that out. And we're getting into the start of it and said, oh, and by the way, I want to use a reclaim barn to do this. So I said, okay. So we did the math on it and that barn has to be 160 feet long by 50 feet deep. So
thank God.
You know, and the best part of our boss is, you know, Kathy will sit there and be like, I got a guy I can call. And so she did. And we had a conversation with a guy who does nothing but find reclaimed barns all over the country and strips them down or transports them and all that sort of stuff. And he said, we called back. He said, I got three. I'm like, oh my God. So we were able to start having that conversation. We've got another one of the guys, you know, another in a collector sort of fashion. He has his own sort of safe room. It's actually it's a men's lounge, but it's behind a vault door. He said, I would like to display my watches. And I said, oh, great. That's another thing that we do quite a bit. Like, you know, in a master closet, that's something that we get asked to do. How many watches do you have? I have 153 watches. I'm like, okay.
He only has two wrists.
Yeah.
And maybe he wears it on one.
And I wanted to all at the same time. I go, all right, let's, and we work, you know, and we work through that. Oh, and by the way, in that same room, I also want to display my rifles and I want to display, what was the other one? I want to display my rifles and I have, and I have a about 20 pieces, multi-bajillion dollar art that I want to store there, but I don't want anybody to know that's there. So we developed a millwork installation that actually, like, the paneling opens and closes, and behind the paneling are the stalls for the art, so that it doesn't look like it's there, but I press a panel and it opens and it does.
He wants to have a secret Louvre in his house.
Yeah, and those are the big ones, but I always want to bring home the fact that, so when we also work with clients who I'm not going to say modest, but they do have more finite homes and budgets, and these folks, they have a beautiful property. It's in the middle of Hot Springs, Virginia. It looks out to this incredible view, and their house is kind of like a lodge sort of house. Alex knows who I'm talking about. They wanted tree trunks as their porch columns. Like, okay, cool. So the contractor, the first thing that the contractor does when they get to the site every day is they walk through the forest on the property trying to find the right five or six trees to be able to convert into columns. And that's just fun.
That's an interesting, I was gonna say, that's such a unique request. And thank you all for sharing those, because that is, you know, those are the kind of things you're just like kind of wrap your head around. You're like, first off, wow, I could never imagine having 153 watches, a sunken basketball court, my own private shooting range. Like, that's just nuts. But now I kind of want to turn it over to you three. I'd love to hear maybe some things you guys are excited about with PCA, maybe some upcoming, you know, whether it be news or, you know, things that you guys are excited about. I would love to, you know, hear what you all have lined up, especially that you could share with everyone. We'll start with, let's see who we'll start with. Any money, no style. We'll start with Alex this time. Let's start with Alex.
I was going to say, I wasn't sure like what we could share, couldn't share, but we do have like some exciting things that are like in the works that are coming through. And I think that's really going to be putting like PCA on the map, so to speak, and really kind of making us like nationally recognized, which is very exciting. And I know it's been really like a passion project with Kathy's, so that is kind of coming. But I don't know how much we can really speak to it as well.
No, I get that. I get that for sure. What about the do you all get to go on? You guys had mentioned you were going somewhere. Are there a lot of, you know, I don't want to say like, in my industry we call them like summits or like you know, things like that. Are there a lot of like conventions or things of that nature you find yourself going to a lot of, or you know, a way you collaborate with, you know, the top designers in the industry or things like that?
Yeah, High Point Market is really our big twice a year. Market that we attend for interior design, and most interior designers attend. It's definitely massive in North Carolina. So we're heading there at the end of this week, and we will head there again in April. That's really kind of our twice a year biannual excursion, if you will. Otherwise, I would keep ourselves very busy with our clients, because we do, you know, travel for clients as well. You know, both locally and nationally across as needed. So I think there's, you know, like Alex said, we have a lot of exciting stuff coming up. We've been pushing a lot of marketing and social media. I know we are releasing a new on the boards page for interiors, which is really exciting. We previously kind of had our completed projects on our website and some sort of in progress projects for the architecture, but we didn't really have in progress for interiors. So now we've got some really fun mood boards to kind of share with everyone. And I think that'd be a fun way to see some of these projects that we've been working on for a couple of years, but obviously haven't gotten to the final install to be able to photograph yet.
And those are so fun, because it really shows like really like the cross that we do here, because the gamut of different styles is really fantastic that we're able to achieve.
For sure. Oh, and I recognize that just from, sorry, Carm, I recognize that just from when like I was down in school in North Carolina. That was a very nice area. I can imagine that being a very nice area for everyone to come together and get ideas. Carm, what were you going to mention?
Oh no! All I was going to say was, I'll tell anybody that's willing to ask. I think the coolest part about Purple Cherry is that, you know, you see you see our website, you see, you're hearing Annie and Alex and I talk about how it is what we do and the energy that we have about it and the passion that we have for it. And we've been great. We are all incredibly grateful for the success and the work that we get to do, but we are the most exciting part about working here is what's next, because we are just starting to scratch the surface of kind of pushing to that next level of exposure and what all the opportunities are from there. And to be able to do what we're doing now and to be able to say that there's an opportunity to do stuff that's even bigger and better and badder is just, it's so exciting. And it makes me get up and come to work every day with a smile on my face. The coolest part about the on the board stuff for architecture, you didn't hear mom called me the first day. Alex and Andy, you got to know this. My mom called me the first day that thing was out. And she was like, I can't wait to call these girls and ask them questions.
So sweet. I love that.
Oh, that's great. That sounds pretty on par for mom. She loves all that design. Right up her alley for sure. So would not be surprised if Mama Kath gives you a ring anytime here soon. Last couple things, especially because I know we're getting crunched on time here, so I'm going to kind of crunch these two together. You know, away from the office, Alex and Annie, because Carmen, I know what you like to do away from the office. Alex and Annie, what do you, you know, what are some things you find you enjoy doing in your free time besides, you know, dissecting restaurants and hotels? What are some things in your free time you like doing and, you know, to do outside of the office? And then, you know, are there certain like topics, charities, you know, interests, things like that, or issues that, you know, you're really close to and you like, you know, you try to build more awareness on or build around? And, you know, just the outside of the office, what are some things like that you you love getting involved with?
Go for it, Alex.
I was going to say, I am involved in a handful that are really kind of just that push, really kind of like what's really close and dear to my heart is like for pro like Israel activists and anything that is really like helping like to spread like what Judaism is, and also like just the that it's kind of hard to explain it, but I've really tried to like push education, and then also just that way it's like people aren't speaking out against anti-Semitism. So
sure.
Like that's really like something that I've really been in the last like handful of years have really gotten involved in.
That's awesome. That's really cool. And one of the main shows, I'm not sure if Carmen told you, one of the main aspects of my show that I love doing is education and just learning about new topics and learning about things that, you know, I may not know myself, but would love to, you know, gain more knowledge on. So I thank you so much for sharing that. Annie, what about you?
Yeah, I would say as far as causes, I am a huge supporter of our military. I come from a military family background. My husband's military. So my sister-in-law, she works for the Travis Mannion Foundation, which is a fantastic foundation. So I would say that if anyone was going to look into something, you know, I would appreciate it if they looked into that. I think they do a really incredible job of supporting those Gold Star families that have lost members overseas. So that's a foundation that's near and dear. And as far as my time outside, I also own a CrossFit gym. So I spend a lot of time working out and coaching classes outside of being an interior designer.
Wow.
And they are hard impressive classes.
Yeah.
I bet.
As much as I possibly can.
Wow. You do it all. A CrossFit interior design. Did you design your CrossFit book, gym? Were you involved with creating that, or was it just one of those things? Just kind of, you know,
it was here, but I have, as my business partner likes to say, I terraformed it. So he's like, you walked in and you really just started taking it over and making it yours. But I think it's good. I'm all about the marketing, and I think that the best way that you can, you know, market something is really to compete with your local competition. And one of the best ways you can do that is to provide a nice environment and really great amenities. So I've, you know, personally gutted and redone all the bathrooms here and things like that. So
That's awesome. That's really cool. And Carm, I'll definitely want to get you on this last one, but the last question I have, and again, We may not even air this portion of the question. We don't
care about what I do.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess. All right, what do you like? What do you like to do? What do you care about?
No, it's working kids mostly at the moment. But I did want to say, because I had thought about this. I had an answer.
Yeah.
I've been getting a little bit more involved in UVA's Children's Hospital. So Joe knows. Our twins spent multiple weeks in multiple NICUs. UVA Children's Hospital was one of them. And they do a series of support mechanisms for families and for the kids that are there. They have they're called Jared boxes, so they're
cool.
Age adult books for kids to read while they're there. Extra clothing for both kids and for adults because there are parents that stay there for multiple weeks at a time. You know, Joe, we know sure. that with mom and dad and aunt. So. So if anybody else is so inclined, go ahead and check out UVA's Children's Hospital's website and check out the donation section for anything that you can provide.
That's really cool. I'm really glad you shared that. That's something I definitely I think a lot of people will get close to, and a lot of people would love to donate to. And thank you all so much for sharing your causes and what you're close to. Like I said, I just love learning about those types of things, and anything I can get my hands on or learn more about, I'm definitely here for. And thank you all so much for joining me. I can't thank you enough for your time, and I know it's very valuable, so I thank you very much for your time and everything you've shared. And I can't thank you enough. I'm saying all this now. I see Carmen saying, I'm saying all this now just in case we do have to edit this last part out. So my last question to both and Carmen, I want to get your answer again, Alex and Annie. I like asking this question to all my guests, just because it's one of those thought provoking questions you never thought you'd have to tackle. And Annie, being that you are a CrossFit owner and probably do CrossFit yourself, I'm very curious to hear your answer. So I'm not sure if you all have seen the movie Step Brothers with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, but there's a scene in that movie where they pass a elementary school playground, and a bunch of fifth graders try to fight them and take them on, and they get overpowered. But I'm curious to know, as I know you both probably are very strong and could put out a whooping, how many fifth graders do you think you could fight before they overpower you? And give us a little bit of a reason why.
Oh man. I can't wait for answer.
I'm gonna start with you, Alex, because I'm sure Annie's. I'm ballparking Annie's is probably around like 20.
I was like, Annie's is probably gonna be a lot higher than mine. I was like, I kind of go from. I have 11 nieces and nephews, and I think that's where I top out.
I can handle them.
I can only handle up to 11.
Nowadays too, they're not small. They're definitely built. You have to keep that head on the table. Annie, how about yourself?
This is a hysterical question, and definitely something I have never thought about. And now I'm in my head envisioning like all of these fifth graders running at me.
They're all coming at you. They're upset.
Yeah. I would like to think I'd be able to fend for myself pretty well for a while. I don't know. Maybe like 15.
that's a confident answer. I mean, 15's like, I think people sometimes I ask people this question and they're like, oh, I'll take them all out. I'm like, I don't think you know how big fifth graders are and how they're pretty.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, I'm not saying they're ginormous, but at the same time, like they have speed. You don't know. Are they coming after lunch? Did they just get to recess? What's the situation? I think there is a lot that goes into it. And I think those are great. I really respect those answers because those are a lot. That's a lot. 11 and 15. That's a lot. But at the same time too, there are a lot of fifth graders that, you think about three or four classes worth, that's like 40 to 50 kids. That's a lot.
Oh my God.
What about you?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm also like,
go ahead, Annie. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I also have like 5 nephews. So I'm just thinking about, especially my brother's kids who are insanely athletic for that age. I'm like, well, I don't know if you said like the 5th grade, you know, after school care football team after me. I don't know. That number might drop.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, there's my God. It'd be at like 2. Oh,
my God. Yeah. There's variables. There's a lot of things that are an athletic 5th grader is dangerous. That's someone you don't want to cross, especially if they're in a bad mood. Farm, what about you? I mean, you're a pretty solid man. I'm curious. I mean, but at the same time, you know, I know where your weak spots are. If I hit you right on the leg, right, you know, you're going down like a poop muffin.
Appreciate that. I'm trying to be realistic about this because I've definitely been trying to keep in shape, but nowhere near the CrossFit maniac that Annie is. So I'm gonna try and work off of their numbers. I'm gonna say 25.
Whoa!
Wow! Whoa!
Money? That feel a lot? I'm trying because Joe, you're talking about classes. I'm trying to think through those same sort of terms, right? Like that's, I don't know, what is that? That's a class and a half.
Yeah, that's a class and a half a kid. And I mean, I personally knowing you, and I think I could see you doing that. I'm also very curious, like. Again, these are all numbers when this episode airs, these are all numbers you're going to have to go around the office to each other and be like, well, Karma said he could take down 25 and Annie said she could take down 15. So, I mean, that's water cooler talk for sure. I mean, anywhere between 10 to 25, I think I've learned is from learning this question is a very respectful answer. I've had some people ask some answer ridiculously put it too high. But I really appreciate those answers because those are not only respectful, but also reasonable. I think those are reasonable answers and those are a reasonable amount of fifth graders who are going to get it handed to them for sure.
God forbid anybody else from Perry Lee. This because we have a staff retreat coming up in the middle of January.
I forgot to say.
I can't even imagine what that's going to turn into after we're done with the day.
Team building activity. All right, you've got a school coming at you. What do you guys do? And you guys can design the school, you know, make sure it's very proportionate to how you could take it down. But before, I know we're getting crunched on time. Before I let all you go, is there anything else you wanted to share? Anything else before I do let you go? Because I know we have a time crunch to meet.
I was going to say, I don't actually, but I have to run. But
I understand that. Alex, thank you so much for joining. I really had a blast. Thank you so much for being a great guest and answering all my questions. And I'm very excited to learn more about the things that are important to you, as well as I think everyone will get a good understanding about what goes into being a lead interior design as well. So thank you so much for your time.
I was just gonna say thank you so much for having us and for kind of just shedding a light on what we do at PCA. It's been a pleasure, and I think we're so grateful for the projects we have and the clients that we get to work with, and are excited about every new opportunity that comes our way. So any way that we bring awareness to the firm, through our marketing and through things like this is very appreciated. So thanks for having us.
Absolutely, Annie, of course. And as I say to all my guests, and again, I understand you guys have to drop. And you guys are now friends of the podcast. You're friends. I know you're close with Carmine, but anytime you guys want to come back on or speak more on it, I'd love to shed even more light on it, because I'm sure even though we talked about a lot, there's even more we could, digest and even, go even more down rabbit holes. So thank you so much for your time. I know it's very valuable, and you're always welcome to come back on. And thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Of course. Carm, stick around for a sec because I want to – well, thank you for helping me collaborate all of this. Yep. You have some more questions for you for sure. Just want to chop up. And I really do – I can't wait for the rest of your peers and everyone else to hear this episode because it was a lot of fun to record. So thank you so much for joining me, Alex and Andy. Everyone listening, go check out Purple Cherry. Go check out what it takes to be an interior designer. And, again, just thank you so much for joining. I couldn't be more appreciative.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Of course.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Again, Karma, thank you so much for joining. I really appreciate that. And Alex and Annie, if you have to drop, I totally understand that. Totally. Feel free. You're free to leave whenever you would like to.
I have Kathy yelling for my next meeting. So.
Sounds about right.
I'm about to solve some stuff with him. So you guys are free to leave. Thank you so much for joining, and you're always welcome to come back on.
Oh, thank you so much.
No problem. Take care. Take care you both. Bye.
All right, bye.
And Carmen, I just want to thank you very much for the listeners, Alex and Annie did just have to drop, but please go check out, follow them. As I mentioned, the boards that you guys check out, that's really cool for everyone to get involved with, these are the backgrounds I want. We talk to a lot of cool guests. Every guest I think I've had on has been really cool. We talk to, athletes, but these are also the backgrounds I love learning more about. Carmen, I think I've mentioned to you, architecture and interior design as a whole is something very, I think, is interesting and a true art and genius that, doesn't get recognized a lot. So one, I want to thank you for joining me as well. You've been a great guest and you've been a great part of this conversation. And two, thank you so much for helping me coordinate this with Alex and Annie. I couldn't have done that without you.
Yeah, you bet. Anytime. This is like Alex and Annie said, any chance we have to talk about what we do is just fun. We'll do it whenever we can.
Absolutely. And I'm calling this the sneakerhead golf of 10 minutes of post pod. I think one, well, first off, sidebar from everything we've talked to, just bringing it all back to sports, the Yankees are actually playing right now. I saw when we did this interview, it started at 4:00. When the rain delay happened, I was like, oh, okay, it's getting rescheduled. And I saw they did it till 4:07. I was like, of course. But I'm just looking now.
What's the score?
In the top of the third, they're up 4-0. So things are going well. Nasty Nestor is pitching phenomenally. I'm glad, I don't even care if he comes on. He can be like my James Taylor. It's been a pleasure not having to listen to Bob Costas today so far. So, I think he's just getting too deep into it all. But anyways, bring it back to Purple Cherry and everything. How'd you like the conversation?
I thought it was a blast. I hope that you got a chance to hear both Annie and Alex's kind of similar but different personalities, and also how passionate are for what they do, because they sleep and drink this stuff, and not in a way that ever over the head, because it never ceases to amaze me how much they know and how much we talked about this a little bit last time on the episode with Mark, but it's the same thing for. And there's a lot of people are really, it's very easy to be like, well, I lived in a home, right? I know about architecture. I know what it is to design a home. They're like, I've gone to Costco before. I picked out bedding. I know what it is. And doing it in a very like curated, strategic sort of way, like design minded sort of way, is a completely different way of thinking about it. I have absolutely no. No real expertise in any of that realm, and so to be able to get over to Annie and Alex, it's just, I mean, it's always a pleasure to watch it work, and I love being able to be a phone call away from them and be like, hey, is this crazy? What do you think about this? It's a blast.
I think a lot of even people wherever they come in during the episode, you always heard that level of collaboration and cohesivity. Like you said, they're both two individuals, they each have their own personalities, but the collaboration, the way they work, they have similar mindsets for a lot of things, but also they bring in their own unique perspectives. But even the way they were handling the interview, you could see that the collaboration's there and see how well they work together. And then to what you were saying, and I think it was really cool to hear how I personally would have, I think like most people would have been like, oh, the architect draws the plans and then they'll give it over to the interior designers and then they'll go from there. But hearing how integral you guys are into each other's role from just the beginning of the process, I think was very informative to me to learn, oh, wow, like, once the, either you guys win a bid or you find out you're bidding on an opportunity, you easily are, you from step one, everyone's getting together and say, okay, we need to find a way to make this all work together to get the final product the way we want. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. And it works at its best, right? Our model is at its best when somebody comes to us and says right out of the gate, like, I want all you guys for all of it. Right. Because then I'm going to bring it back to sports, right? It's like basketball then at that point, right? Like the ball is constantly moving around, and the more and more we all have a chance to work with each other, the more and more fluid all those passes become. And it's just score after score, right? And watching those two work together is so much fun, because in another sort of sports metaphor, it's like watching second baseman and shortstop turn in double plays, right? Like those guys, I mean, it's that backhand, that over the shoulder back, like it's an over the shoulder grab that then they kind of flip without even really looking over. And then all of a sudden it's coming base, because they are able to pass off all of this sort of stuff to each other, like pass off ideas, pass off the management of the office to each other in a way that's incredibly good. And they didn't sit there and talk about it, but they're managing something like over 60 active jobs at a time, right? And so that's an incredible amount of volume to be constantly having to kind of manage across people inside the office, from client to client, like keeping that memory going, like, well, these are like, and they go from meeting to meeting to meeting, right? So from 8 to 10 we were having this conversation, and I gotta flip that switch and go right to my 11 to 12, right? And it's
I was just about to say too, I think also you know, it's impressive how with so many, you know, juggling balls in the air, you find time to still, one, you know, Annie has started her own CrossFit gym, which is really cool. And even Alex has a lot of the causes that she's trying to raise awareness for. I think it's really cool that you get the same, while the topics might be different, or, you know, what the client's trying to bring might be different, you still get the authentic self of Alex and Annie, of who they are. And I think that's really impressive in itself. And I think it's really cool that, you know, they bring that to every individual meeting that they go to. I last thing I guess I wanted to, before I let you go, because I know you've probably got either you've got to get back to the boys or you've got to get back to work. Is there anything else from, you know, a PCA, or I guess who should we talk to next as far as, you know, either integral pieces of PCA or, you know, architectures and interior designers, or what's another maybe aspect of the process that I think a lot of people would be interested to learn about?
Purple Cherry specific or architecture and interiors in general?
I see how it could be a double. I realize that question could have clarity. So I guess I want to say what's ever easiest to answer, but maybe a way of collaborating, something that's part of interior design and architecture, and something that you think Purple Cherry does really well. Maybe like outside of those two, you know, like you mentioned, for instance, Kathy knows a lot of, you know, people, like a specific guy for, you know, the barn situation. You know, what are other parts of, I guess, from like a contract, we didn't really get to talk to either contract, I guess, learning about like the contractors maybe you work with, or build select builders maybe, or that part of the job, maybe something like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of groups up in like in the Northern Virginia area that you could reach out to, like CYK, and they do phenomenal work. ILEX Construction up both in Maryland and down by us do absolutely phenomenal work. Alexander Nicholson is another contracting group down here that we do some work with that are just their craftsmanship and detail is astounding. Gibson Makerfield at Ed and Ollie GME, if you go to their website, it's run by five brothers who are this first generation of leadership after the guys that found it. And that's cool. They are some of the most genuine, honest people I've ever worked with on the contracting end. They feel so passionately about not only being good craftsmen, but just good people, and having an honest and real conversation with people, like with clients all the time. It's really cool. If you could spare the time to grab Kathy for an interview, she has the most astounding personal and professional story. One of the most, I mean, she's an incredibly inspiring person.
That'd be cool.
You hear us talk about passionate people are passionate all the time, right? So you hear us talking about what we do, but also we also get that energy from our boss. Like this 62 has probably more energy than all of us combined.
Yeah.
it's a force to be reckoned with. It's so much fun. There's another person in the office you probably saw come across Instagram at the same time that Annie and Alex were put out into the world from Purple Cherry. His name's Peter Guidetti. He's from Staten Island. He's our lead design architect.
Oh, okay.
Again, a man that is just full of incredible grace and sensibility, and he has just mountains and mountains of historical knowledge that he can. His understanding of architectural styles throughout time and across America, and then all of the history behind all of those styles, his levels of understanding are absolutely incredible. And I'm shortchanging. Mm-hmm. If we've got 30 people in the office and I just mentioned four of them, I'm shortchanging 29 others, because you could probably walk down the list of everybody mm-hmm. here. They're all incredible people. Outside the world of architecture, if you're outside the world of Purple Cherry, if you're looking to kind of see what is out there for, you know, from a residential design sense, get out there on Instagram, because if you go to our page, sure. Purple Cherry's liking, you're going to see who we're clicking through to follow all the time.
Okay.
There's a series of architects that we admire that you can kind of through a series of designers that we hold in a really high regard, and artists and everybody within the design world. Check out Kathy's Instagram page. It's full of incredible things.
Definitely will be doing that. I easily will be checking out her page for sure. And I think that's definitely, I know it's a topic I find very interesting, but I'm finding that these are also topics and professions that people A, are interested in, or B, like maybe thinking about down the road. So I definitely want to tap into those. And I'll be reaching out to Kathy. That's definitely the next step for sure. But thank you so much for coming. That was awesome.
I just wanted to say too, sorry, I don't mean to keep using Purple Cherry people or things as a spring, platform.
You work there.
But the cool part about checking out something like Kathy's page is it's about design in general, right? There's things from the National Archaeology Instagram page just about crazy buildings or imagery that they have come across or they're putting out. It's an artist that she found that's doing really incredible work. It's an incredibly inspiring mosque that she has found that's vibrant and has crazy geometric design, and it's a beautifully calming balance of things coming together in an interior design, just a room that somebody's posted recently. It's so wide ranging that like she can be a platform to just generally cool things that are out there, and that's really all I mean by it.
That's really cool. I think it's all about perspective, and I think that's a perspective that a lot of people can learn from, but also relate to. Like you said, her energy and just maybe the way she thinks about things and the things she puts her hand on and kind of taps on. So I think that would be definitely something I know I'm interested in and I'm going to be going after. But Carmen, thank you so much for joining. I can't thank you enough. It's been super fun. You'll be coming back on for sure. I can't thank you enough for helping me coordinate this. This has been awesome.
Yeah, anytime. You let me know if you want to do another one. Go Yanks.
Oh, we will. Oh, we will be. All right. Talk to you, Carm. Love you. We're going to the outro.